It's a show about women, for women, and empowering women. This is Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation here on 590 KFNS, The Fan. I am here today with two really incredible women. What's so nice is I like to also call them my friends as well as professional acquaintances, connections, and personalities. Today we have from COCA, which is the Center of Creative Arts, we have Kelly Pollack, who is the Executive Director of COCA. And we have Pam Mandelker. She's, you know, she's the head of advancement, the director of advancement for COCA, but really she's the queen of fundraising in St. Louis Metro. I mean, Pam has pulled it off in so many different ways over the years. She really is an expert. So these two ladies are here today to talk to us about COCA, again, the Center of Creative Arts, and their accomplishments, the highs, the lows, and everything in between. So this is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation. Welcome, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
Oh, happy to be here.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, this is always fun. Shall we clink?
Yeah.
Shall we have it? Okay.
Cheers.
So, cheers. That's a good way. And then at some point you'll start eating your chocolate, I'm sure, because you'll have to start nibbling on chocolate.
Sure. Okay.
So, Kelly, you're the newbie. You know? I mean, Pam's been at COCA, what have you been there now, Pam? 19, 20 years? As the director of advancement?
Well, it'll be 20 years this fall, but actually Kelly started 6 months before I did.
No stinking way.
I'm the old timer.
Yeah,
you are?
More than 20 years.
Kelly.
Actually, Pam was involved. She was on the board at the time. So we kind of started working together from day one. But yeah, I'm the old timer, Maureen.
You're too
20
young.
Years.
But you're too young. You
well,
still
I was
look
12.
Like you're 29.
I was 12 when I started. Yeah. So yeah, thank you. But
oh my
no.
gosh, honest to God, I've always kind of thought, well, Pam and I were closer in age. And
no,
you were the young kid that came on
the
block.
8 years as executive director, but worked with Pam in fundraising for those years prior. So
she
20
was
years.
Keeping the machine running.
She was
outside running.
Oh my goodness. So yeah, you were proud of
So we've been a team for 20 years.
That is great. That's great. Well, yeah. So tell me, what brought you both then to COCA? I mean, whatever even, you know, because in, well, I can't wait till we get into everything that's happened, the expansion and the building and everything. But tell me, what really brought you to COCA?
Well, I think we have much, much different stories. So in my case, I was, you know, recently out of undergraduate, moved to San Francisco for a while, moved back to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And knew that I just wanted to work in education or a nonprofit setting. And I literally responded to a classified ad in the newspaper when there were classified ads.
Yeah.
that dates me. That's changing, like, how old I am. But it's funny. I had a connection. I went to Washington University. I was always familiar with COCA, but never quite knew exactly. But there was a position for a development coordinator, and there was a staff of 12 people at that time, which we have 40 plus staff and 290 teaching artists. So it's grown substantially. But it was really about connecting with the community and kind of getting an education environment. But it was really luck, I think, that I landed there, quite frankly. Pam's is a little bit different because she was engaged there as a community member.
Yeah, and you were also a volunteer too, weren't you, Pam?
Well, so I was a volunteer originally, but this is so funny because I worked in radio. Mm-hmm. And radio advertising sales and sales management. And I was, got involved with COCA as a volunteer and was a board member. And Stephanie Riven, the previous executive director, wanted me to do a job at COCA that I didn't like. And I said, well, I'll chair that COCA Cabana event if you'd get me out of that other thing. So she said, sure. And
which nobody, by the way, ever wants to chair a big event except Pam.
Yeah. Well, and that's why it's always so successful. You know, Pam's always made everything a success.
But that was 1998, and Kelly was brand new on the job. So we really kind of found our legs together and have been running ever since.
So tell people, what is COCA? Tell people, I mean, you know, you can say the name over and over, and when you see it in the building blocks and in the, you know, in the colors, it's just, just let's tell people what COCA really is.
At its core, it's a center for learning through the arts. Mm-hmm. And in all shapes and sizes and all ways, it's multidisciplinary, meaning we have dance and theater and art and design, vocal music. But it's all ages, all skill levels. And we approach that in many different ways, but it's hands-on experiential learning through the arts. And doing that on site at COCA. We're located in University City, just off the Del Mar Loop. But then we're engaged in, you know, 40-plus sites throughout the community, across the region.
Right.
We're working with schools, with educators, as well as the business community. So we're really using the arts to help people reach their full potential, whatever that may mean to them. For some, it's very specific technical and professional training for those who want a career in the arts, like a lot of our pre-professional teenagers. But for a lot of people, it's tapping into their creative potential, having fun, picking up a new skill, meeting new people, connecting. So we use the arts to do that in all shapes and sizes.
And don't you think a lot of times it helps, you know, bring kids out of their shell or bring people, you know, into themselves, but in mm-hmm. different ways because of the fact that they can really experience the arts and really dissect themselves differently because of the arts. Now, mm-hmm. when you say of all ages,
I mean, itty-bitties, 3-year-olds, 24
and
months.
How old? And
when you're potty trained, you can come on in. And we really, we're running summer camps, for instance, right now. We start at 3, and, you know, camps will run up to teen intensive to 18. But then any day of the week, there are programs for adults, even for people who've never taken a dance class or a theater experience. So from 3 to senior adults, there's something for everyone.
See, I always thought just the senior adults is when we got to go to things like The Flame and, you know, and to some of the, you know, Coca Cabana and all the events, because those were always my big, adult events.
Yes.
That I would go to at Coca.
Those are really pipeline for mm-hmm. us in terms of, so if you haven't taken a class or come to a performance, we really look for folks that haven't been to Coca, and that's mm-hmm. why we love to do the events there. So bring them in and give them a taste of really what we're doing day in, day out, and introduce people to the different programs, services, mm-hmm. and mostly the kids. You know, people are really drawn to COCA, I think, because we are serving kids from all over the community.
As far as getting involved in it, oh, it's probably been 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
But to really know how many kids and inner city kids and kids that struggle and don't have the financial backing to be able to do some of the things as far as dance or learn the arts or learn how to sing, mm-hmm. learn how to, you know, I mean, think of your shows you have in the summer, you know. Mm-hmm. What's the show this summer?
West Side Story.
Hot dog.
Coming up in just a week and a half. So,
oh, my gosh.
Tickets still available. Be Edison Theater at Washington University. But we have, I think, about 40 extremely talented teens from mm-hmm. all over the region, and there'll be extraordinary song and dance and theater,
oh,
as you might
be
expect.
Great.
So, yes,
yeah,
don't miss
that'll
it.
That'll be great. Now, why did you pull it out of your theater there at COCA?
Because we do not have a theater at COCA right
really?
Now.
Oh, okay.
Under construction.
Okay.
So we are just diving in. We have an extensive renovation and expansion effort underway. So we have an effort called Create Our Future. And the first phase was to renovate the historic building that we have today.
Mm-hmm.
That's just finished. And in June, we just broke ground on the expansion. So we are
okay.
going to have about a 45,000 square foot expansion, which will include a new state-of-the-art theater and multiple performance studios, a community commons, lots of backstage and support service area. So it's an exciting time, but we are we're operational during all this construction, mm-hmm. but we have some space limitations, let's just say, right now.
So tell me what happened to the old theater.
So mm-hmm. it was torn out. So
it
literally, we had a performance, our Flame event that you've come
okay.
to, Mo, and
right.
That was the end of January. And February 1st, S.M. Wilson came in and demolished mm-hmm. our theater and have now, in 4 months' time, mm-hmm. converted that whole space all the way down to the, I guess, western end of the building.
Okay.
And converted that into just incredible space you have to see. And the building, the COCA's building, is on the historic registrar. Was built in the 50s and by an architect named Eric Mendelson, who was commissioned by the B'nai Amunah congregation at the time. And one of the signature features of the building was that theater, but because it was dark as a theater, you really couldn't see this really incredible parabolic roof that had been covered mm-hmm. up. So that has all been taken back to its original glory,
oh,
and it's
wonderful.
A very light-filled, beautiful space now that is a rehearsal space. for our theater that will be built to come. Mm-hmm. So
okay, yeah, we were out of the country and missed Flame this year, so I really missed a lot when that happened.
We've been busy.
Oh my gosh!
And we built a parking garage.
Yeah.
So
no stinking way.
Yeah, it's completely.
That's great. So I don't
collaboration
have to park
with Washington
anymore.
University. So we have a about 230 spaces in this beautiful parking. It's actually a very beautiful parking garage. We will share that with Washington University so that we can use our lot to do the expansion.
That's great. That's great. Well, you know, I remember when we were sitting in your conference room, gosh, what was it, 4 years ago, thinking about this?
Yeah. Tell us how to do it, Mo.
Yeah. Thinking about, okay, Mo, you know, we want to expand and we need this. How much money? What do you think? Can we do it? You know, I mean, that was such a great conversation with some really good key people that were in there. You know,
we've come a long way. Not done, but we've come a long way.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get there.
You ladies are phenomenal. So, you know, we've talked a little bit about Coco, but now, Coco, let's talk about Coca. You know, one of the things is, tell me about yourselves personally. Mm-hmm. Okay? So, Kelly,
I get to talk about her.
Yeah.
You can talk about me.
Let's talk about her. Then we're going to talk about
we'll
you. Then we're
going
to talk about you
right
and
now.
John and the girls, you know. Yeah. So tell me about you personally.
Well, how far back you want to go?
till you were old enough to go to Coca.
Yeah. Old enough to go to Coca. So, well, I actually...
You grew up where?
Cam and I have much different stories in terms of our early years because we had a pretty stable... Cam grew up in many cities. I grew up in Washington, Missouri, so Washmo, affectionately known as, so just an hour west of here, and you know, had a pretty pretty probably uneventful kind of childhood, but you know, I think it was shaped, went through 12 years of Catholic school, went on to Washington University. But I think some of the things like early on that really, really shaped me. My father died at a very early age. And so that was formative.
I was 11.
You know, so I think that was probably my early leadership skills were developed. I was the youngest of four. So it's kind of me and my mom.
I have leadership skills. You know, don't you get that?
But, you know, I think that I actually, I took a lot of inspiration from my, my aunt Jackie, who, she's actually a Catholic nun, but she's always worked in social justice, very active, civically. And she was working in criminal justice and with women, women who have really saw just extraordinarily harsh circumstances and found themselves, you know, in addiction and abuse and all sorts of situations. And she would, you know, really work with their families as they were in the criminal justice system and try to build this cycle. So throughout my childhood, I spent a lot of time with the Catholic nuns who were really a very well-educated.
At some point, did you say, I want to be a nun?
No, but I actually say that my liberal leanings came from the Catholic nuns because they were really just this extraordinarily educated group of women who were very active and kind of, you know, did this. And they were involved in all sorts of issues in the community. And I think that's where I got my early kind of education and community leanings was just seeing them so engaged working for invulnerable communities with low-income people who are really struggling. And I was inspired by that.
And so is Sister Jackie your mother's sister?
My mother's sister.
Your mother's sister. So she's going, kid, she drove me crazy as a kid. And now look what she's doing to my daughter.
So we're still very close. And she's now, you know, very involved in my kid's life. But I think there was a lot of lessons kind of I learned from spending a lot of time down wherever she was working in the city, primarily in different pockets. And because my upbringing was very, very homogeneous in terms of what I saw.
Oh, gosh,
and that kind of opened my eyes to like, oh, wow, there's a whole other world out there that
sitting
I need
out
to
in
dive
Washington,
in. That's
Missouri,
right.
You know.
It's a lovely community, but not very diverse.
Not at all. I wonder if it is now even. Yeah. You know?
A little bit more, but.
So tell me then. So then you go off to college.
Go off to college, history, English lit. So kind of that liberal arts. Mm-hmm. And actually, I had my work study job when I was at Washington University. I was assigned to work in alumni development. So I think that is, you know, and as everyone in St. Louis knows, WashU is a very it's a fundraising machine, very successful fundraising effort. So it was the first time that I really understood that there was this, you know, career in this world of actual fundraising. Anyway, left after graduation, moved out to San Francisco, worked at the California Culinary Academy with chefs.
Did you?
Which is great because I love to cook. My husband actually ended up going to school out there after his undergraduate. He's a pastry chef, so
He is. Where is he a pastry chef? Give
he's
him a shout.
Belle Reve Country Club. He is preparing for that big old PGA tournament. Yes.
He's getting ready. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And we, so after a few years, moved back here and landed at COCA shortly after. So, and have had a very long track record, 20 years, as we said there.
So how do you look so good and be so thin if you've got a pastry chef in the family? I mean,
I'm
I
at
can't
COCA
imagine.
More than I'm home, and I also like to run. So that helps, those balances.
Gosh. And your kids. Tell me about your kids.
I have two great kids. I have a 13-year-old who'll be in eighth grade, Oliver, and my daughter, Adelaide, is my dancer. She's at COCA right mm-hmm. now in a ballet studio. She'll be in sixth grade. So I have two middle schoolers this year.
Do you remember those days, Dan?
Oh, yeah, probably.
Yeah. Where the kids go to school?
They're at Wydown Middle in Clayton.
Okay, yeah, cool. Yeah, great yeah those days of middle school, you know.
Yeah.
There's just, they're finding themselves.
Yeah.
Right?
We're all finding our way.
Is that a way to say that, Pam? Yeah. What do you think?
I'm trying to remember. I just saw something about middle school kids, but I can't remember. But that's a problem right now is remembering, you know.
Yeah.
Yes. Kelly knows I have this little coping strategy where I hold fingers up,
to
help me remember like what I'm trying to remember so that I
and that
add
works?
To the conversation. It is a I can go up to three things that I yeah. can remember if I hold up fingers and that's my tool for, yes, Full compensating list. For this old age. That
God, I'm horrible.
Into.
I mean, I'm constantly Try writing it. Little notes, you know, and trying to remember what was it I was thinking. And then I have those stumbling moments like, I know, and it looks like I'm just trying, I'm pushing
Sounds
so
like.
Hard. Yeah, and I can't think what it is that I'm trying to say. I'm horrible anymore. My mind's just kind of just like, it's a sieve.
I think you're doing okay.
We have too much. We've already learned too much.
I say it's cognitive right. overload. That's
there
what
you
it's
go.
The real
oh, see,
right.
that's, again,
much
yeah,
way to
you, that's just being so much kinder and nicer. Right. Well, I think what I'm going to do is we're gonna save you, Pam, and come back to you. But we're going to take a quick break. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation on 590 The Fan. Today with Kelly Pollack and Pam Mandelker from COCA.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
And we're back today. It's Cocktails and Conversation. We've been clinking glasses regularly here with Kelly Pollack and Pam Mandelker from COCA. So we were just going to talk to Pam about some of her upbringing, how she ended up, you know, from coming on Earth to, you know, and landing on Earth. And as Kelly said, she had a much, much crazier, you know, life than we all did, you know, because Pam was quite the little traveler, weren't you?
Well,
you were quite the traveler. Tell us about it, Pam.
I always say I was raised by gypsies, but yeah. My father back in the day was in worked for a large company. And when you know, we're moved into another job, you were moved. So I mm-hmm. moved 14 times growing up. And most of those times, though, actually, as I think back about it, were mm-hmm. pretty similar communities. So it was a lot of movement, but like Kelly said, kind of homogeneous people. And I didn't really realize that until later. But
yeah.
So I lived in Detroit, Chicago, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and then small towns in Ohio. And
oh,
was the new girl.
Group. The Impact Group would have really had a blast with yes. you as yeah. you were, you know, always, you know, assessing a new home.
Yes. Well, my mother built the same house three times. We had the same house in three different cities.
Really?
Because she got tired of moving, but also a perfectionist. I guess that's where I get a little bit of that. And finally, after building the same house three times, everything was the way she wanted it to be. But
so you knew it was like, okay, this is the closet. This is everything that goes
this
in that
is
closet.
Where the linens are.
Yeah, because it fit in the last closet like that, so it's going to be in the same closet now.
Yeah, but the wallpaper that was in the entry was all of a sudden in the bathroom or something, so it would take a while to get used to that. But mm-hmm. but really what I learned was that there are nice people everywhere, mm-hmm. everywhere. And moved the middle of my junior year in high school, which was...
Was that traumatic?
Which was traumatic, but, yeah. You know, this will tell you something about me. I made cheerleading. So
I knew she had.
Of course she was
course,
a cheerleader.
I knew you had to be a cheerleader.
Yeah, but it bumped out another girl who then didn't make it. And then I unfortunately dated her older sister's ex-boyfriend. So it was a little rocky there for a while. But
but that wasn't John.
No, that wasn't
okay,
John. No.
Okay.
And then I went to Miami of Ohio to college, which was kind of an extension of how I'd lived, except that my roommate at Miami was African-American. And probably at that time, Miami University had, you know, diversity of, you know, 5% at the mm-hmm. most. And my instant best friend was Jewish. And I had not in my life encountered and been friends with, you know, a person from a different background. And I count myself lucky that that happened right away. And I, you know, just became very interested in why don't I know more different people? And I think ultimately that
your mother built the same house all the time.
Right,
and then
right.
she said, you will have the same kind of friends every time, too. We will have all the same friends.
Right, right. So went to Miami, and then I had trying to figure out what I wanted to do and kind of my outgoing nature. And I had a professor who said, you should go into radio advertising sales because you're competitive and sales oriented and it's kind of creative. Radio is an intangible. You can't see it.
Right.
So when you are selling something like radio advertising, you are kind of creating a picture for people of what it's going to be or what it's going to do. So anyway, I did do that, and I worked in radio for 11 years.
Should we add her here to 590? Yeah. What do you think, Jim? Maybe we ought to bring her on here at 590.
We welcome everyone.
We welcome everyone, yes. And Pam can sell.
Well, I moved to St. Louis and was fortunate to get an interview with Mr. Robert Hyland at KMOX.
What a good
and
guy.
And that was, I will always remember it, and he hired me in 5 minutes and thought that I looked like someone who would sell Ledoux retail. Mm-hmm. And it ended up when I joined that staff, which was in the very early 80s, I was the only woman. And I really loved baseball, and I really sold the heck out of Cardinal baseball. And so, anyway, that kind of put me on a path. I was there for a while, and then with KWK and K-Gold, which are blasts from the past. But
wow,
this
KWK,
reminds me of that.
Yeah.
Right. So,
gosh.
So left.
So when did you meet John? How did you meet John? What a good guy he
is. Oh, wow. This is kind of a good story. So Streetside Records was the biggest advertiser of KWK at the time, and I wanted to meet the head guy there, and it ended up being John, and we had a meeting, and I was like, wow, I like this guy, and but someone had told him that I had another relationship, and so I had to kind of figure out how to maneuver that, and I did, and anyway, ended up marrying my client, and then
it all worked out, though.
It all worked out, yeah. So, and so when did you guys get married?
Oh, God, Mo. 1990.
Okay. Because, yeah, I was trying to think because I knew you were a few years before Mike and I. I wasn't sure. And the girls, tell me how the girls were doing.
So we have two daughters who are now 26, living in Chicago and married. 6 months ago. Yeah. Works for LinkedIn. And a daughter, 24, who is living in New York and works for Jet.com. So, off, and but we have two fur daughters at home, Georgia and Gracie, two little dogs. So,
okay,
yes,
good.
And lots and lots and lots of kids at Coca, so I never feel like I am
not an empty nester.
And Kelly's children, I love to call my second children
them.
Too. So,
well, see, and you can always look at it this way, you could always start grooming them now for Vanderbilt because you guys loved Vanderbilt so much. You could start grooming Kelly's kids to think, you know,
sorry,
I mean,
start early, start
yeah,
early.
You know, don't you want to go to Vanderbilt? It's a great school, you know, it's
and a fun town.
But it's a great town, and it's a wonderful school.
Hey,
you know?
I would love it if they're in Nashville. That'd be fun.
Yeah, Nashville was fun. College is
Nashville's
fun.
Great.
I think that's it. You know, every stage is fun. You know, your early years are fun. The middle years with kids are fun. And these years with grown kids are also really fun.
Well, and it's interesting because, you know, what we like to say here on the show is, you know, really the reason that we have Cocktails and Conversation is really to think about women, you know, strong women. May we know them. May we raise them, you know, may we be them. And then I say, you know what, and may we praise them. So look at this. You are both strong women, wonderful women, engaging. You know,
Let's stay here. Yeah, I'm going like, back to the office.
Just another cocktail.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. And we'll just kind of keep it flowing. But the nice thing is, but you're still able to be married, raise children, be successful in your careers, still have a nice home life, and at the same time, be ready for the next stage at all times.
Yeah.
You know, how great is that? You know, that's, I don't know that enough people really want to praise or think about that anymore. You know,
actually, right before we started, Pam and I were just talking about how grateful we are and just this whole idea around happiness and kind of choosing happiness because life will throw lots of things at you. But to really kind of embrace that, to surround yourself with people who choose kind of optimism and happiness, but definitely that there's a lot of great fortune that we, you know, we think of our upbringings that, and it's probably why we're so committed to what we do is mm-hmm. because I think we both recognize that what we were given at the early start that we had, not right. every child has. Yeah. And so if we can help other kids have a better path, then that will put them off to right. hopefully a successful right. future.
Now, did your mom remarry?
No, she never dated.
My mom didn't either.
She did not have one day, but she had her two best friends. Both had extraordinary circumstances. Her best friend lost her husband, my dad's best friend, within a year. They were both like 44, uh-huh. my age. And her other great friend was recently divorced. And so they've been the three happy friends. They do everything mm-hmm. together, but none of them dated, got remarried. But they had good friendships. I got them through. Still do.
It is. It's interesting because my mom never dated. I mean, mm-hmm. she was teaching school. She had only just gone back to teaching school that year. Mm-hmm. And because I was in second grade. And she, you know, and so it happened in August. Mm-hmm. And she said, you know, she only dated. I mean, or she said, you know, she was never going to date because she said she didn't ever want to date anyone and bring somebody else in, you know, mm-hmm. into our lives.
And I think that, so choices, and it just, you know, I'm thinking about our conversation. And, I know when my daughters were born, and I did not grow up with a mother who had worked. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so it was, you know, talking about mentors, I didn't know what that looked like. And I didn't know if I was going to be able to do that and be good mm-hmm. at that. And I remember I would home on maternity leave and call John and say, I'm not going back to work. I just can't. He'd say, okay, fine. And I'd call him, I am definitely going back to work. I cannot stand it. Okay, fine. So anyway, fortunate enough to even consider that was a choice, but the choice of working and the choice of the gratitude I have mm. for finding something that mm-hmm. has been able to be so, so meaningful, but at the same time allow for having a, you know, a wonderful, you know, family life and not feeling like a, you know, missed in any of that capacity either. So I always wish for all women to be able to find something like that. And it's
you're
hard
right.
sometimes.
You're right. Mm-hmm. You're right. It gives you a happy medium. And, I mean, you know, we weren't, you know, one day Mike and I were footloose and fancy free with a dog that just walks on the hardwood and never touches the carpet. And the next day we've got two little boys dropped in our laps as, you know, for us to be mm-hmm. considered the emergency for mm-hmm. DCFS and mm-hmm. to take two little boys and, you know, and
that's game changing.
Oh, it was. You know, I mean, yeah, I was thinking, oh my gosh, what is this? You know, how do you do it? And we were so used to just being so independent. We'd both got, you know, because we'd gotten married for first time marriage, you know, so late in life that was mm-hmm. very, very different. So all I could do is go, I advertised for Hazel. I said, if you remember the show Hazel, I want to talk to you. And that's what funny. I did so that I could still work. But at least I knew somebody was going to be responsible and be at the house and mm-hmm. close the dishwasher and, mm-hmm. and finish making the beds and pull the mm-hmm. stuff out of the dryer and get dinner started so that they would have, mm-hmm. that they wouldn't miss a beat, mm-hmm. you know, and it worked great. You know, I would like Hazel back again, but I mean, it's just Mike and I now, and I don't think I can show him why I need Hazel, you know? So it is, it's interesting, and we're very fortunate. We've all been fortunate, but you know, part of it's your education. Mm-hmm. You know, you get your education, you want to use it. Mm-hmm. You know, you take time thinking of the things that you want out of life and for life, and so you have to, you know, I always tell our kids, you got to work for them. You got to work for everything everything you've got. So tell me, who were some of your mentors? Tell me a mentor or two and why they were mentors, Pete.
Well, I already mentioned my Aunt Jackie was an extraordinary mentor, and I learned a lot through just, you know, really being raised partially by her. So that she taught me a lot about what a, you know, strong woman looked like. You know, as I came into my professional career, you know, I've been fortunate through COCA to have a lot of amazing mentors, but... Mm-hmm. Kathy Kramer, who was just a dear friend, who we were just talking, just passed away about 3 years ago this in July. She took me under her wing in my early years and was just extraordinary.
I got to tell you, I'd go have lunch with Kathy, and I'd always feel like such an underachiever because we'd go have lunch at Molly Darcy's, you know, in Clayton there.
Yeah.
But she'd just worked out for an hour and a half at Sweat. And I'm going, really?
Read two chapters of her book, exactly. Had a keynote presentation.
Yeah. And it's just like, wow, Kathy Kramer, how do you pull all this off? It's 11:30. I'm just trying to read the menu right now, you know? I mean, she was just so full of life.
Such a great spirit. And I do attribute a lot of, you know, as... You know, COCA was a young organization figuring out, you know, all of its organizational development. And I was, you know, young and impressionable trying to figure it out. She was just such a great mentor and role model. Mm-hmm. And I think her whole philosophy, just the whole asset-based thinking, really wired my head, my thinking in the right way. So she... You know, whenever I would be losing it or not what to do, always call Kathy.
Kelly and Pollack loses it.
No,
she's never lost.
Kathy had a lot of conversations where she saw, she knew it all, and so I was able to. I just trusted her immensely. But anyway, she really just, you know, always had the right thing to say at the right time, always the right source of inspiration, always ready for a pep talk, and she always found time. You're just saying, like, I have no idea how she, and I know that I was not, she did this for so many people. She was a mentor for her, so I felt like I was her only, like, mentee, but she had so many people who looked up to her and looked for her advice, and so I'm just so grateful that I had her as part of my life, and I keep her with me every day because she was not only in my own personal life, and I know Pam was really close with her as well, but she had just an extraordinary impact in shaping COCA and, you know, was on the board for so many years and led so much. So she is someone I always keep with me.
Oh, yeah. God rest her soul. Yes. I think tonight we make sure that Aunt Jackie says a special prayer with the nuns for her. Okay.
Yes, yes.
What's Aunt Jackie's, what order is she in?
She's Notre Dame.
No way. Yeah. God, they were always, like, tough.
Yeah. Oh, no, I don't know. This was, like, I had a great group that they were...
I never wanted a Notre Dame
men
at school.
They were... they liked drinking wine and talking. Oh. And so we had... I don't know. I always found them to be quite... I'm just giving all their secrets. But
you
actually,
are, yeah.
Jackie's going with... we're leaving on vacation next week, and Jackie's going with us, and so she'll tell us story.
She'll be finding all the hot spots first. Because I have an uncle who's a Catholic priest, who's an Oblate priest.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, but really, going to Catholic, I went all through Catholic schools too, but the Notre Dame nuns at Althoff were much tougher than the Precious Blood nuns. The Precious Blood nuns, you could always kind of talk them into things. They would believe that the dog ate your homework. The Notre Dame nun would go, no, you're staying after class
and
smart. Doing
they
that.
They were smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Those Precious Blood nuns, God love them. Shoot. So, Pam, who are some of your mentors?
Oh, gosh. Well, I remember back to high school and a teacher.
Yeah.
And,
uh-huh.
you know, I have such respect for teachers. And we do, you know, so much work at COCA in the education space. And I was a new girl in a new school. And this teacher pulled me out of the class one day and out into the hallway. And she was a creative writing teacher. And she said, you know, I see you. I can see things in you. And just said a lot of really helpful things at the time that just... came at that moment. I never knew how she saw them, but I felt like, you know, gave me new confidence, and I can still recall it, and helped me to kind of see things not so straight, in such a straight line. I was really a straight line person, and she said, you are creative. You should explore that. And I have in my life now and career, and I think it goes back to somebody like that was challenging. And I honestly have to say my other mentor is my husband. And
John's my mentor, too. I've talked to John about a few things, too. Let's come back to that. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation. I'm here with Pam Mandelker and Kelly Pollack, and they are here representing COCA, the Center of Creative Arts, here on 590 The Fan. So raise your glass if you are mad in all the right ways.
We now return to Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
So we're back. This is Maureen Moore with Cocktails and Conversation. Women, strong women, praising women. And I'm here today with Pam Mandelker and Kelly Pollack, both at Center of Creative Arts. They have two of the most important positions at COCA, but they will tell you that it's the 40 other people that work mm-hmm. with them that make this such a wonderful family and such a wonderful home. Pam was just talking about her mentors, and then we kind of did digress for a second on that. So, Pam, tell me, another mentor. It's John, huh?
Well, so I do think of my husband as a mentor, and mm-hmm. Just one of the most resilient, inspiring, and teachers in my life. Mm-hmm. And for example, John did it. He's just had a great way of sharing everything with me and did a program many years ago at Pepperdine University called an MSOD, Masters of Science in Organizational Development. And this was back in the days when organizational development and strategic change were not words that were commonly tossed around.
People
this
didn't
is,
even know what it
right,
meant.
Right. This is 20 some years ago. And this was like him to find this program, and that this was something that he thought would be additive professionally mm-hmm. and personally. And I remember being so mad at him. I was home with like a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old, and this was in
and he's leaving Colorado. California.
Palm Springs, like for 10 days every 6 weeks or so for a year or two. But I don't know. He brings lessons to me and conversation to me, and has an ability to listen and respond and motivate and inspire and keep going. And I just have to say he is a mentor.
Well, I think we're all going to agree that, you know, really it's having that balance and having a spouse or a partner that really can help fill in the blanks and kind of keep you on balance and that you work together, right, Kelly?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, I ended up marrying my high school sweetheart. And,
he was?
Yeah, so I found my soulmate early on, and mm-hmm. I really do. Mitch is my best friend, soulmate, and we are yin and yang in some way. I mean, very mm-hmm. much alike in some ways, but also just very, very well balanced. And even when I was at COCA and contemplating, this executive director role and whether I should throw my hat in for this job or not, it was a conversation about mm-hmm. what this will represent for our family. And, you know, we're open 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. It's a lifestyle choice. But it's, it's one of those things as we're raising kids, it's about, you know, balancing each other out and not measuring, you know, not a tit for tat and measuring who's doing what, but just kind of filling in. It's like water filling holes. You're just kind of fluid with it when you get it right and you have the right partner. So I'm another thing in my life, just extraordinarily grateful. There's absolutely no way that I could do what I do without having a partner like that. So,
that's a beautiful way to explain it, because it's funny. And like you said, you know, he was your high school sweetheart. Well, I knew Mike Moore when I was in high school, but but if we certainly weren't in high school together, considering the fact that I think when he was graduating from high school, I was making my first communion. I was in second grade, you know. But it's funny because this morning I said to Mike, I need to talk to him about something. And I said, I need you to just stop the news right now. And I need you to look at me. And I said, just look at me. You know, and he's like, gosh. I said, and it was the funny thing is even the dog perked up and was like, okay, I will look at you. She's got something on her mind. You know, but it's great because you can go to them anytime and anywhere. And I just love having a good, solid husband. Yeah, I'm so thankful because he is a partner.
Well, and I think part of that, too, though, is, you know, also recognizing that relationships are work and that, you know,
not to have
anyone think that, you know, everything's happy-go-lucky. Like, it is work. You have to want to have a healthy relationship. And I think having that with my husband as well as with my friends, I really, really value the healthy relationships I have with mm-hmm. my, especially my girlfriends. They've kept me, you know,
sane
and, and grounded mm-hmm. through the years. But I think, you know, to choose to work at healthy relationships really, for me, has led to more happiness, fulfillment, because, you know, you need to lean on those people throughout your life. But you gotta invest in those relationships and not just pull out of them. Like, it's a piggy bank. You got to put money in the piggy bank so you can pull it out when you need it. But you've got to be investing and making time to do the work that relationships require.
Oh, it's so true. It's mm-hmm. so true, isn't it, Pam? And you can look at that and, you know.
Well, I do think it's the, you know, it is the most important decision you'll ever make. And this is, I mean, the conversation with raising daughters and you know, finding a person who is going to support you in all those ways that mm-hmm. Kelly just described so well is one of the keys to a really happy life. So
happy life, happy wife, You've heard that, haven't you, Jim? I mean, you know, that's kind of how it works.
Yes, I have.
Yes, you have. Yes. It makes for a very happy home. Yeah, and we've all kind of crossed that threshold where we've been married long enough now that our husbands have finally figured that out, you know, that the wives will just, you know, just say yes and thank you and yes, dear, and it'll all work and just nod.
That's how it all works.
Yeah, it all works. But, you know, let's talk a little bit more about COCA and philanthropy because you two aren't just involved in the philanthropy of COCA and what it takes to run COCA, but you're both involved in helping others in other ways, too. Mm-hmm. So tell me some of the things that you're doing philanthropically.
Well, part of my sanity right now is I love to exercise and be outdoors. So I'm right now training for Pedal the Cause because I love what it both gives me, but most importantly, what it does in our community. So Pedal the Cause is doing great work for cancer research and have, you know, just lost too many great people.
Are you part of a team? Are you part of a team?
Not this year. I was last year. I did talk my son into joining. So my 13-year-old son is going to be a new Pedal the Cause cyclist. So I mean, that's just one thing that I just think they've done extraordinary work here in St. Louis, and
Is that coming up in September?
It's at the end of September.
That's what I thought.
So, but I kind of have to get on the bike before then, so make sure my legs are ready.
How many miles do you have to do?
Well, you can choose. You can choose however many. Last year I did a little bit more, but scaling it back a little bit this year. But I think we signed up for about the 40 miles.
Oh, gosh. I should get Mike Moore and Bob Myers on that because those guys both like to pedal. And, you know, Mike will be, I'll be at the house and be trimming, you know, around the pool or something and be in the pool. And he'll go, I'm going to take the bike out for a ride. I'm like, it's 3:30. It is the heat of the day. You know, he'll be like, that's okay. I'm just going to get my cardio in on the bike.
That's right.
You know, and it's like, oh, my Lord. You know, I can hardly be out of the pool more than 5 minutes. You know, but we should maybe give that to Mike Moore as a project.
Yeah, no, it's a great organization. And it's a great community just around that you find. I mean, there's not a day that I go out that I'm not on the road somewhere and you'll run into other cyclists and you'll, you know, it's just very open, engaged. But again, it's just because there's been so many people struggling to overcome cancer. People have, you know, lost the battle and need more work and more money there. So.
Right. Totally.
And of course, I would say just the other thing, the arts and culture, not only at COCA, but we have a great arts and culture community here in St. Louis, and anytime we can be supportive or helpful of other organizations, it's a very collaborative field, I think, here in St. Louis. And so the hard part is just finding time outside of COCA to make it to other arts and culture events and performances and activities. But obviously that's near and dear as well.
So do you ever get pulled in at school, you know, where they're like, well, you know, we'll ask Kelly because Kelly already does a lot of this. She'll be able to help us with whatever. Do you ever get pulled into your kids' school?
Well, I'm fortunate that my best friend there is the chair of the PTO, and she knows me so well and knows what I do so much that she'll pinpoint those. We have a little tradition of things I can be pulled into the PTO. They know that I'm will show up when I need to. I'll support financially when I need to. But I feel like I always say that I'm fortunate. There's so many volunteers in our schools, so many great parents that are engaged. And I guess I like to justify that there's so many kids that we work with at COCA who don't have the same resources and same family support. So I kind of choose to spend a bit more time helping those kids as opposed to sometimes at my kids' school.
God love
I know
you.
That they have so
you.
Much
they
coverage
do.
There. They're good.
They
They're
do.
Good.
God love you. And Pam, what about you? What are some of the things that you're doing philanthropically or have done? Because I know you've done a lot of different things too. Well, and you were involved too with us at Peabody with Leaders in Education too.
Yeah, and that kind of all goes along with that education, which is something very important to me. And I would say Kelly and I are both graduates of the Focus St. Louis, Leadership St. Louis program, which we're big believers in and very much supporters of Focus overall. And
can I tell you a quick story about that? So here I am at St. Louis U, and it was when we were talking with Dr. Chaffetz, and we had a few other, you know, the juries were... We're looking at donating for Drury Plaza, and I was in Focus. Well, the thing is, I missed like three different weekends based on major donors.
Oh, you're not allowed to miss.
You know, I know. And you're not allowed to. Yeah. You're not allowed to move. And I'm like, oh my gosh. But, you know, my job was that we had to raise the money. And if that's when those people can actually meet with us and look at it and make some major, major decisions with major dollars, I couldn't, you know, that was first and foremost. So I said, you know, I really appreciate Focus St. Louis and I wish I could stay, but I really can't stay because I have to work. You know? And it was St. Louis U that put me in to Focus and asked for me to, you know, that nominated me for Focus St. Louis. And I'd every year I go, and I'll come back. I promise I'll come back and I'll finish, you know. And I never did. So, you know.
Well, now we'll pull you back in.
Oh, yeah.
We'll buy back next time we go to a Focus.
There you go.
Event.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yes.
Yeah. But Focus is great.
I think that program and, you know, at COCA, we are so interested in arts education and all of that, mm-hmm. but we are interested in St. Louis, and we are interested in how, as Kelly was kind of alluding to, how the arts really can be a very strong voice and be a lens to help people maybe understand different things that they, you know, may not understand. Right. So that remains very important to me. And Planned Parenthood, I have always been a supporter of mm-hmm. Equal opportunity for women
and
for all women and for choice. And one out of four women will visit Planned Parenthood during her life.
Really?
If you do the numbers on that, and it's not just, you know, treating a few people who need financial help. It's mm-hmm. treating a lot of women, and it's very important that they continue to exist and continue to be able to do all of the education work that they do. So that is just another passion mm-hmm. and Safe Connections, another great organization, again, helping women find their
connection.
Voice and, you know, stand out, call out things when they aren't right. Mm-hmm. We have to really empower each other to do those things and have somewhere to go when sometimes you can't even talk to your friends about mm-hmm. something. And so, anyway, those are just
strong women. May we know
women.
Them. May we raise them. Right. May we be them. May we praise them.
It
is our
that.
Mantra. Right. It's our mantra. Okay, so you know what? I hate this because we're kind of coming into, you know, closing the show, but it's so fun to go to COCA. I love whenever mm-hmm. I go there to meet with people or to attend an event. All those little cute little kids, you know, and I mean, and all the little ballerinas and their little outfits, and you know, I mean, it's just so fun. But you know, another thing is that I was very fortunate that when, you know, that because of our connection mm-hmm. to COCA and obviously Lisa and Greg Boyce's connection to COCA, that I was able to have COCA perform mm-hmm. at all the big events for Peabody Energy for the Leaders in Education. Mm-hmm. And those kids, I mean, you know, I can still remember when they did the Motown Review.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, you know, here we were at the Hilton at the ballpark, and all of a sudden they did a flash mob with, you know, for the whole, you know, for the Motown, you know, review. And it was just so awesome. Those kids are so talented, you know. And then you got Phil Woodmore, mm-hmm. who I literally had him come back and sing at my mother's funeral. You know, he was just wonderful, and he was
great educator.
Yeah, and just such a wonderful educator, and just the synergy mm-hmm. between the kids, the teachers, mm-hmm. the parents, the performers. I mean, it was just always so wonderful. Mm-hmm. You always walked out of COCA smiling.
There's good energy. That's true. There's good energy there.
We call it mojo.
It's like COCA mojo.
Kathy Kramer word.
COCA mojo.
Well, and it is. So tell me some fun little stories. You know, give me a few kind of cute little fun stories or a cute thing that happened with some kids or when you went, oh, my goodness, we didn't see this one coming. Is there anything that comes to your mind?
There are really stories every day about connections that are made. Mm-hmm. I think that's probably what we get more than anything. Yeah. And I know Pam has some, but one that just popped in. So right now we're in rehearsal for West Side Story. As I was mentioning, there's, you know, teens from 12 to 18 are in this cast from all over the region. And so we get typically for the auditions for this, we have kind of COCA veteran students who are with us and trained, but we also get a lot of new kids who want that opportunity. And anyway, Miss Lee Nolting, who's been the matriarch of the dance program, our first faculty member hired 30 plus years ago, still works with the kids. She came in my office just the other day. She's like, Kelly, I have to tell you this great COCA story. I was just listening to the kids. And these two kids from completely different areas of St. Louis realized they were in the production last year together, came back. They found out they were cousins. And they started talking about their histories and their paths and their families and realized they had never met, live here in St. Louis, And then that story actually produced another conversation in the same cast of two other kids who said, we just found out we were cousins. So, I mean, that's part of it, is just really bringing St. Louis together. We have those sorts of connections of, you know, people sitting on the benches. We like to say the bench moms and dads who are sitting there. And there are just amazing stories. I don't know. You probably have a few that come to mind.
Just flipping to the supporter side. And we have as many, you know, great stories about supporters, who someone who, you know, kissed his wife for the first time when he was in Hebrew school, when Coca was the B'nai Amunah Synagogue, and, you know, has that, you know, fond affiliation with our building. And then, you know, people who come in and don't really understand, now, what is this place and what do you do here? And Jim and Kathy Burgess, who have stepped up, and the Burgess Family Foundation been so supportive of our work. But Jim came over on 4 o'clock in an afternoon, and he said, boy, you really timed this one well. Well, we have a shuttle bus, not just a van, a shuttle bus that makes many, many round trips every day, bringing kids from all over to St. Louis. And Jim watches all these kids get off the bus, and then he's like, well, how long are they going to stay? And we're like, well, they're going to be here. It's like 4 o'clock till probably 9 o'clock. He's like, what? We're like, yeah, this is, he's like, oh, this is kind of like their football team. And we're like, yeah, it is kind of like their football team.
You just gave me goosebumps from that. You gave me goosebumps because it is. And they're happy to be there. They're thrilled to be there and so excited.
They,
you know?
They find their people.
Yeah.
You know, it's like they're like kids.
But I got goosebumps from all that.
Yeah. And they get help with their homework, and they get exposure to healthy food and to, you know, more nurturing adults. So anyway, we kind of love it. And, you know, if there is, you know.
You figured that out yet?
Yeah, really.
We kind of like it.
You love what you do. You'll never work a day in your life. I think we do work.
We work hard.
But it's incredibly gratifying.
And I have to say kudos to you both, because you just pulled off how many million that you just
not done. We have 41 million secured towards our campaign effort. So our goal is 45 million. So we're getting there.
We're getting there.
We can see the finish line.
There'll be something else.
I know.
It's been really gratifying, though, to see the community really rally around the cause, and to see so many step up, kind of COCA veteran, longtime supporters, as well as new people who have just found new energy in life through what we're doing. Yeah. So it's been great.
Yeah. Well, it's because COCA is such a great place to be. It really is. And ladies, I want to say thank you to Kelly Pollack and Pam Mandelker. And thank you both for coming today and representing COCA, Center of Creative Arts, Cocktails and Conversation. You know, talk is cheap. You know, next
always
drink's
fun
on
to
me,
with you,
you know. Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thanks so much. Good.
Thank you very much, Maureen. That will put a wrap on this week's show. Remember, you can catch every podcast of Cocktails and Conversation with Maureen Moore on the 590 The Fan Cocktails and Conversation webpage. The show will air every Friday at noon. And if you miss it, you can hear a replay on Saturday at noon or on Sunday at 7 a.m. Have a great day, everyone.